This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Well, so I wanted to show everybody, because I was bragging about this yesterday. This right here is the bourbon stationery, because I know I was asked about it yesterday. That's it right there. How cool is that? Bourbon stationery. Here's camera three right there. Look at that. Bourbon stationery. By the way, there's my my cutouts back from there, San Francisco there. There it is. You like that?
Where's the kid with the garlic fries? Yeah, I like the stationery.
The kid with the garlic fries who sat beside me during every San Francisco Giants baseball game this year, I was told by an executive with the Giants that his cutout has been trashed and incinerated. And the little kid stole all my garlic fries during the year, so he's done. His cutout did not make it home safely.
kid did not get his own cutout because he ate your garlic fries.
That's it. So he's done. So, he is in the trash bin somewhere in the Bay Area in San Francisco. So there it is. All right, let's get back
to work.
Tough
way to go.
Hey, you know, don't steal a man's garlic fries at a Giants game. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Come back to haunt you. All right, let's get into the game. One of the two big ones coming up on Friday. Obviously, Notre Dame, Alabama is game one. Game two, Clemson and Ohio State. And we got some numbers for you. You know, we got Dabo ranking the Buckeyes 11. You heard what he said in the interview. And had his, you know, again, I can't believe it's received as much attention as it has. But it has. I guess this is what happens when you have a lead in and people have to find stuff to talk about. So we start talking about coaches' polls, which I've, again, in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever heard of one that's ever been relevant, ever, until this week.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. But you got to look a little bit deeper into the numbers. I mentioned to you last hour, there are some things about this game that I think if you're an Ohio State fan, you would be concerned about. And one of them, to me, is your secondary. That secondary has given up some serious yards to pedestrian offenses. No disrespect to Indiana. They got a nice team. But look at some of these numbers here. Now, this will pop off the screen. That yards per game, look at Ohio State's defense is 104. We only got 127 teams playing, all right? A buck 27 is playing. Ohio State's secondary, 104. When you got Trevor Lawrence and those guys, that could be a problem, Wes. For Ohio State. They're going to have to deal with that one.
The two, look at the passing yards and the yards per play. I know Roddy Jones always talks about yards per play. That's the kind of thing with Clemson where it measures kind of the value of the big number. And for me, that's what I see because, you know, Wade's back there, but there's not a lot of pressure coming in on the edges. That's in Washington. The best player in the secondary is in Detroit. They had some studs a year ago on that side of the ball. Sean Wade's a tremendous player, but without Okuda, without Chase Young, they've gone through a bit of a renovation on that side. And, you know, go back to this game here in particular, Pack, and this one especially. Look at the stuff vertically that gets done by the Hoosiers of Tom Allen here. There's plenty of examples of where you can see them with seven in the box and teams run the ball on them. That didn't happen last year at all.
No.
Now they'll have to have it geared up on Friday because Clemson comes at you with formations. Clemson comes at you with packages. But for talking about where, you know, Chase Young and Jeff Okuda are, remember too, the guy that was the blueprint is the head coach in this league now. Jeff Hafley's in Boston College. He's not the – I mean, they lost a lot defensively from the top of the office to the top of the org chart all the way down when you think about it.
Like I said, there are some things about this game that if you're a Clemson fan, you're looking at this going, okay, now if we hold on to football and we don't kick this thing around, throw it to the wrong guys, I think there's opportunities for Clemson for big plays in this game. I mean,
right.
Big plays.
Sure.
And when you've got Trevor Lawrence and company, and again, I know Ohio State has circled a calendar and they've barked and whined about officials. And like I said, I've heard every excuse known to man on the radio show in the afternoon. Believe me, Clemson's like, hey, you know, we spotted you a 16-point lead And then from that point on, beat you 29-7 on maybe your best team, one of ever. We're tired of hearing you guys whine about all the excuses. We'll be ready to play too. So this is going to be a go time. Again, I think there's a lot of pressure, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of pressure on Ohio State. And I think a lot of it's been really their own fault, because they kind of griped about this thing for a year. And now, hey, you got your wish. Tag, you're it. You get to go see those guys you want a piece of. And oh, by the way, speaking of narratives, you're 0-for. OH-4. Listen, if we come back here on Monday and they're 0-5, that's going to be a long year in Buckeye land. Because, again, you kind of run out of excuses that, hey, eventually maybe that team just has your number. I would tell you they've got your number already at 0-4, because Ohio State never has a bad team. Never. But Clemson's really played well against
them. Well, and the other thing you can say is that of the teams that Ohio State has played so far this year, Clemson will be the best defense they faced.
Not even close.
I mean, it's just yeah, and you look at some of the Tiger numbers, and you can see right away that, you know, that Clemson's going to have a measure on Ohio State. Now, you get into the details of who teams have played and that kind of deal, but you could also argue Clemson's played a much more difficult schedule and posted these numbers. Opponent yards per play, there you go. I'll tell you it's important. 4.6, opposing QBR, second. Turnovers, forced sacks, those are all FBS ranks. Those are all top 11 at the worst. And that's something else to think about, because sometimes Ohio State's best running game is when Fields has the football. I tell you this, the last look of the Tigers on defense was strong, by the way. When at health, they are formidable again. And, Mark, you said it, I think, about 3 weeks ago. When Tyler Davis came back, that solidified what the rest of that front looked like, didn't it?
Well, there's no question. And Skalski, too. He and Jones in the middle of the linebacker. Yeah. But I'll point out one thing. Justin Fields, and again, I know he was asked about his thumb yesterday, and he said, hey, by Friday I'll be fine. And I expect him to play well. He's not a good player. He's a great player. He can beat you with his legs. He can throw. He's smart, big, strong. And the lights aren't too bright for him. He's a tremendous player. Clemson's not going to have Nolan Turner for the first half of this game due to the infamous targeting call, which I love so much. That is a big deal. That's a big deal in the first half, because I do think Ohio State could score in this game. I mean, they got great wide receivers. You heard Dabo talking about it last hour. And Justin Fields is dynamic enough. He can make plays either way. So I expect Ohio State to be able to put up some points. And without having Nolan Turner, who's kind of their quarterback way, way, way in the back, and you won't see him in the first half, Ohio State better make some hay early in this game, in my opinion. Because if they're playing catch-up in the second half and now Turner's back there in the second half, that's troublesome for the Buckeyes. So, again, these are all really good teams. Listen, we should be entertained with terrific semifinal games. But I will go and tell you, you go back to the history of the college football playoff, you could name the great semifinal games literally on one hand. We haven't had many.
Yes, you can.
Last year's Ohio State-Clemson game was as good a football game in terms of physicality, emotion, crazy trends, teams getting on momentum runs, big plays down the stretch. I mean, that game had everything last year. It was just a great, great football game. And hopefully we get another one on Friday night.
Yeah, I think so. I'm optimistic that we're going to see two pretty good ball games. I think the one Friday afternoon has a chance to be better than certainly most people think. And then, you know, Clemson and Ohio State, both, it'll be about keeping the ball in front of you. Especially, you mentioned the part about Turner. I think that's well said, because first half, Clemson's got to keep it in front of them. Don't let them get behind you. Because, and as I made the mention a moment ago, sometimes Ohio State's best rushing play is when Fields has it. So we'll see what happens on Friday. We'll get more into the details on this. Believe it or not, it's only Tuesday. And Friday, we're coming at you for 3 big hours. Packer and Durham brunch at 11 a.m. Part of our Friday countdown, followed by a 2-hour huddle pack. It's all you want.
I mean, we offered to be on at 7. on New Year's Day. And the suits said, no, no, we'll just push you back. I mean, we were willing to go 7 to whenever the huddle guys got out of bed, which apparently is early afternoon.
Yeah.
But they know they want us to do it at 11. So, well, hey, whatever. I mean, I'll be up at 4. So whatever you want to do, I don't care. I'm in.
So we'll do a little brunch. We'll have a beverage with a piece of fruit or a vegetable in it, and we'll enjoy you for brunch. Maybe some of that, whatever that pancake stuff you were having over the weekend.
Now,
you
know,
we'll
get some of that cooked up here. One pancake stuff, it was bourbon maple syrup. And Mrs. P, it was bourbon maple syrup. And Mrs. P made pancakes for a brunch on Sunday here for the girls, threw some blueberries on it and the bourbon maple syrup. And a couple of sticks of butter, and load it up. So sounds good for Friday. I can go for that again.
Well, I don't recall Drew, Josh, or myself, Meg, anybody getting any kind of invite for that.
Well, I mean, you don't need an invite for here. I mean,
but then again, we were all about small gatherings, weren't we? We were all about small gatherings too. Whatever. We had to keep it small this holiday.
Come on, you know, the more the merrier. I keep telling you that all the time. You got the, you know, there's no code. Just come on back. French doors are open. Pass the sniff test with the dogs.
Maybe a little catering on Friday for the special brunch show. All right, take a break. When we come back, basketball. We got basketball tonight. We had several games. We're down one. Oh boy. We'll talk about Florida State. They're back in action. Big one tonight at Little John.
Yeah.
Canes. Playing. We got the Hokies in action. We got the Jackets and the Tar Heels in the A. All that and more coming up on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network. 844-SAY-ACCN. The number of the program, the coveted invite, Katie George, Cheez-Its in hand. She will be front and center tonight with Miami and the Pokes. But right now we've got hoops on the brain. And Wes, I know you were preparing for Pitt and Duke. And lo and behold, yesterday afternoon, breaking news, not happening.
There it is.
Yeah.
Right there, working on the game. And then all of a sudden I got the call. I'm like, I guess the 21st meeting between Pitt and Duke will have to wait.
Yeah. It's the world we live in, though, isn't it? I mean, that's sheets. Just the way it is.
I got sheets ready. I got, you know, I had stuff. I had sheets. I was kind of ready to go. I ain't going to lie to you.
Not happening.
Kind of thinking about doing the game. I had average minutes and points and assists and blocks and everything written down here and records. And I was doing my prep, Pack. You know, I like to prep, right? Yep.
Well, you got to do that when you do play-by-play for sure. No question. So bummer.
All right, now here's the bigger concern. I'm keeping a sheet. We were updating it before the game. Now, Meg, it'll be hard to get, but see the little orange marks, Pack? See the orange marks on my sheet? Those are good. You know what those are? Those are games that have been postponed in the league. We're starting to add, we've got too many of them, don't we?
It's early.
But it's early too. You're right. So it leaves us with two tonight, and one is at 6 o'clock right here on ACC Network, and it's Miami at Virginia Tech. Now, we mentioned to you yesterday that Rodney Miller's done for the year with Miami, so that's two bigs that are out of the lineup for Jim Larrañaga. Sam Wardenburg never made it to the starting gate with an injury. Now Rodney Miller has gone down. More pressure on Chris Likes, more on Cam McGusty, Isaiah Wong. Miami becomes much more perimeter-based, in my opinion, and we'll see it tonight at 6 at the Castle against Virginia Tech, who has proven to be good at home. But Likes, who's been banged up in the early going, too. But Isaiah Wong has carried them. But Virginia Tech's looked good, Pack. They have looked very good for Mike Young and had some nice wins, especially the one over Clemson. But the Canes will need Likes tonight.
Well, Likes is going to have to be out of sight to pick up the scoring help that they're going to need. And by the way, Virginia Tech, really with the exception of their game against Penn State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, they have been outstanding. I mean, you mentioned the win against Clemson. Really, the win against Villanova is the ACC's only really shining light for the most part in terms of top 25 action. So, again, Hokies at home. I like their chances. I think they're playing better basketball. Miami's still kind of a – God, they're just so fragmented with just missing pieces, kind of like last year. So Jim Larrañaga is going to have to really do a great job keeping these guys whole, or at least the best way they can. But the Hokies at home, they have been a pleasant surprise. I go back to before we started the hoop season, and I told you I've got some buddies that said, hey, don't sleep on us, man. We are going to be really good. And I'm like, okay, I got you. Noted. And I got to see it before I believe it. And you know what? As we now sit here at the end of December, those quote-unquote sources knew what they were talking about. Virginia Tech is very good. And Wes, I would make the case today, this moment, that Virginia Tech would be one of the four best teams in the league. How about that?
Yeah. If we're going to have the conversation about maybe one of the best, I definitely think you put them in the front third.
No question.
Only because based on what we've seen so far, I would also put Clemson in there. And ironically, the Tigers are in action tonight, too, in a big one against Florida State.
Big game.
At Little John. I mean, you're seeing tonight two of the teams that may be making this move. And why do we say they might be making the move? Well, because we don't have a lot of confidence in what we're seeing out of Virginia. We were supposed to see Duke tonight for the first time in a while. We're not going to get to see the Blue Devils. That'll be this weekend. Carolina lost their last time out in NC State. Roy Williams yesterday calling it the worst defensive performance of his coaching career in Chapel Hill. You know, those type things are, you know, we just don't know what to think right now, do we? In all honesty.
Well, that was our issue yesterday about we kind of kidded around last year during the hoop season. We had fun with the glob, the middle tier of the ACC, which literally every night changed. I mean, it was like we do our counting, but the glob last year in the ACC from really 6 through 10 or 11, even further than that, was you had no idea. This year it's kind of moved to the top. Who is the alpha?
Yep.
We both said, and Luke Hancock joined us yesterday, that if you had to pick one right now, you'd probably go Florida State. Well, tonight, Leonard's guys go on the road for the very first time, and they're going to see a Brad Brownell club that will get after you defensively, and they have kind of been a mini Florida State in the sense that they're playing so many guys that are contributing. So this, to me, is a really fascinating game. It's hard to believe neither are ranked, but that's beside the point. I think you're right, Wes. I think this matchup right here are two of the five best teams in the league right now, today, Florida State and Clemson.
Yep. Yeah, look, when you start thinking about where the Tigers are, and let's take non-conference wins, okay? Clemson's got some good, decent non-conference wins.
No question.
Florida State's got a couple. Florida State's got a head-scratcher against UCF, but the question is that a head-scratcher? Johnny Dawkins' team played with their hair on fire down there that night at the Tucker Center a week ago. Brad Brownell's team now, how much can you trust them? We're getting ready to find out tonight. Remember now last year, beat Duke at home, beat Louisville at home, beat Florida State at home. They got some nice wins in that building a year ago.
Well,
be critical tonight to see what Clemson can bring to the table against a Florida State team kind of coming off that loss.
Again, you see the Noles ranked 18th. I'll get to the rankings here in a second, but you're right. I mean, Clemson's already got wins against Mississippi State. They've beaten Purdue. They've beaten Alabama. They've beaten Maryland. So it's not like they've backed. They've played a good schedule. They've got good quality wins in terms of Power 5 W's. And they got experience. I mean, Amir Sims has been really good, but they're playing with so much depth, which is what Leonard Hamilton has mastered in building a great program in Tallahassee. So you're going to see a lot of guys on the floor tonight. This is a really, really important game. And again, who knows how many we're going to play this year. I think, too, Clemson coming off the loss to Virginia Tech on the road. Holding serve at home this year has never been more important. And for a conference that really doesn't seem to have an alpha right now, Florida State's probably your best bet. There are going to be a lot of teams looking to say, hey, we got to grab these kind of games. So a really, really important game tonight, really from both sides.
Well, you had three scheduled tonight. Obviously, Pitt, Duke on the shelf. So now you're down to two. There are three more tomorrow night with a cancellation, by the way, in that mix as well. So this is a pretty critical midweek set for the ACC to kind of get a feel. We'll know a little bit more after these next two nights. Will we have it all solved? Absolutely not. But we will have some of it done. Now, on to the Pittsburgh Duke story. We kid around about the prep and all that, and that's fine. The real story from Pittsburgh that is a positive test was determined yesterday amongst the Pittsburgh basketball team. And it's immediate tier one group, if you will. So the ball game is on the shelf for at least the time being. And the rescheduling of that game and the others is still to come from the Atlantic Coast Conference. But it comes on the heels of Jeff Capel returning to the bench, what was supposed to be a return to the bench tonight for the Panthers against Mike Krzyzewski, his mentor. And, of course, he played for Coach K. But Capel has just come out of the isolation from battling the COVID. And yesterday, I thought he was pretty candid in his comments to the media about what it was like going through the virus.
It was a to be honest with you. It was tough. It was tough. I had symptoms, and it was difficult. It was difficult dealing with the symptoms. The isolation was hard. I understand a little bit better now, or have a little bit better understanding, I guess, of why solitary confinement is a form of punishment. I understand why Tom Hanks painted the volleyball and turned it into Wilson, and why he lost his mind when Wilson went away. It's difficult. It's difficult. The isolation is difficult. The sickness and the different symptoms and things like that. I'm very fortunate I didn't have it as bad as some people have. And I didn't have to be hospitalized. I was close, but I didn't have to do that. So I'm grateful for that. But it's
scary. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So our best to Jeff Capel for sure in his return. And yeah, sorry, we're not going to get to see the Panthers play, by the way. Aldis Toney, I think, was probably going to get back on the floor tonight. That would have been good news for Pittsburgh. Justin Champagny was likely going to miss the game for Pittsburgh, along with Jalen Johnson for Duke as well. As Champagny is certainly going to be further down the road than Johnson, but nonetheless, you're going to have two stars on their respective benches tonight as well for those teams.
Real quickly, the AP poll came out yesterday. We've got four teams in the ACC men's side ranked. Florida State's the highest ranked ACC team at 18. 18. And let me just say something. We keep asking about who's going to be the alpha, right? Duke's 20, mm-hmm. Virginia 23, Virginia Tech 24.
Yeah.
To put things in perspective, this is how weird this has been already for us in the ACC. The Big Ten has six teams ranked in front of our highest ranked team. The Big 12 has five teams ranked in front of our highest ranked team. It's why we keep asking who is going to become the alpha in this league, right? You got Florida State, Duke, Virginia Tech ranked. You have NC State playing well, Syracuse playing well, Clemson playing well on the fringe. This is going to be a fascinating ride just to see who can just start playing games. I mean, it seems like it's been, how long has it seemed since we've seen Wake Forest play a game, right? It just seems like it's been forever. It's been bizarre.
Wake's played two games, Pac. They played two,
right? That's nuts, but that's what we got. So
yeah,
again, you do the best you can, but it's going to be an interesting question though, in the ACC, is who can get momentum at the top and say, guess what? We're the best team. Your guess right now is as good as anybody else's. Trust me, we don't know.
Mark, to answer your question, we have not seen the Deacons on the basketball floor since November the 27th.
Is that crazy? I mean, can you imagine after what Wake Forest football went through with Dave Clawson, right? They go a month without playing, and now all of a sudden you got Wake Forest hoops. It's like almost, you know, the folks in Switzerland out of sight, out of mind. I mean, what's going on? So, again, hopefully everybody can get back and rolling here in January, but it has been a bizarre start to a college basketball season.
Yeah, maybe we get an opportunity. I know his team is scheduled to play. They've plugged and played a ball game against Catawba, a Division II school out of the South Atlantic Conference PAC.
Yep,
been right there on Ennis Street in Salisbury.
Yep,
yeah,
beautiful
we've
spot.
Been there.
Yep.
I know Wake is scheduled to play Catawba. Maybe we can chat with Coach Forbes before the week's out too. get a chance to maybe catch up with him and see kind of where the Deeks are. That one is a bit of a head scratcher. So, but we've got basketball for you tonight. One game, 6 o'clock Eastern time, right here on ACC Network. We'll take you to the Castle in Blacksburg. Jay Alter, Paul Biancardi standing by for ACC basketball presented by Geico, Miami, and the number 24 Virginia Tech Hokies. Right here tonight, 6 o'clock on ACC Network, always streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, conference cuts, CFP style. Brian Kelly's headed for us. Hey, Brent Venables met the media yesterday. There's Tommy Reese, the Ohio State offensive coordinator, Notre Dame offensive coordinator. And there's Dabo. Back in a moment.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program. All right. What's the matter with you down there in Cartersville today? Wes, what's wrong with you?
Can we just tell a quick story about Drew Brooks trying to pronounce Catawba?
That's your call. I try to protect our smart people.
Drew will be coming up. He and Josh Macri, absolutely. They lead this program every day.
So if you want to make fun of them, it's up to you.
Now, I'm not making fun. Nobody's making fun. We go through pronunciations all the time. Like me trying to pronounce Tiana's last name. It drives Macri nuts.
How do you pronounce that?
How do you pronounce it?
What's Tiana's last name again?
Manakahia? Manakahia.
Catawba.
So,
you go.
You did well. Catawba. You did well. Now, what was your first try today? What was that?
I don't even want to. Not good. Not good for the,
what was it, Pat?
The
what
schools
was it, Pat?
That I went
Come
to.
On.
I don't even want to go there.
Catawba, I think I said.
You were all over it.
You were all over it.
I'm going to protect my people.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks, Wes.
I'm protecting my people, too, especially since they sold Coca-Colas in the upper deck at Sun Devil Stadium when Notre Dame lost to Oregon State in the Fiesta Bowl. So, there you go.
Part of the narrative. Part of the narrative.
Yeah.
Catawba.
Part of the narrative. There you go. Yeah, Catawba. You did well. Yeah. They play Wake Forest this weekend. Coach Forbes...
Thursday.
Back in action. Good heavens for Wake Forest. Or it's Thursday, rather. Thursday. You and Luke's can preview that.
I don't think Luke's, because you're on assignment this week, so Luke's will be filling in.
I am
on
assignment.
Thursday. Yeah. I don't
Yes, I'll be
Luke's,
at the...
I don't sense Tom's going to be into the basketball conversations Thursday, so we'll try to keep it football heavy for him.
Shameless plug, I'll be at the 62nd AutoZone Liberty Bowl with Roddy Jones and Eric Wood. 4 o'clock on ESPN for West Virginia and the Army. Very excited to be a part of that.
I hope we know that game's on? Is that officially a go?
Yeah, that game's on.
Okay, so everybody's passed their COVID numbers and we're good? That's a go?
It's from what we've been told. Now, I guess there's always a late developing story, but from what we've been told, the game is a go.
By the way, there's a chance.
By the way, Roddy Jones, very excited. It'll be 41 degrees and an 80% chance of rain at the Liberty Bowl on Thursday.
I think there's a chance that Neil Brown is going to join me this afternoon. Is there anything that you'd like me to pass along to Coach? Just think about that.
It's a big – you know what? We talk about bridge games. West Virginia, this will be a bridge game, 20 into 21. For the Mountaineers.
Got it.
And their best player, first team All-America, Darius Steele, is going to play in the ball game.
Unique
first
concept.
Team All-America, going to go in the Liberty Bowl, right?
Kind of
all right, let's go to, speaking of conference cuts and coaches, right? Here we go. Let's roll it out there. Irish and Tigers both met the media yesterday on the ACC side. We had great coverage here on the network, by the way, and will today again at 10 o'clock. Brent Venables, a rare media availability for the defensive coordinator in this sense, and that he got, he gets to some questions and starts talking a little bit about what he sees in Ohio State and how's Justin Fields different this year from the guy you played against last year.
I don't see a whole lot different. He's a terrific player, can do it all, can, you know, run, can throw with precision, you know, run with strength, and, you know, play with great poise. Just he's a great leader, very natural, got an incredible skill set, great presence in the pocket. And, you know, he's, you know, without question, their leader, you know, on offense. So everything goes through him. You know, he's a great game manager as well. And, but, you know, poised and experienced and, you know, just incredibly, incredibly talented. I see more similarities than differences.
Mm. Justin Fields, a problem now. But the fact that Clemson saw him last year, I think helps, right? And flip side. For sure. Ohio State, you know, the fact that they saw Trevor Lawrence be able to beat him with his legs, we know he could throw it. It'll help Ohio State. Again, Dabo talked about it too, that, hey, we saw these guys last year. We're kind of familiar. We kind of recruit the same kind of players. That's why it's been a good series. It's been a fun, like I said, there's always a storyline regardless of when these teams have played. There's always been some fascinating storyline that spins out of the Clemson-Ohio State game.
Yeah. For the head ball coach at the Clemson Tigers, the number one thing you can say about him is that before anybody wants to talk about the game, they want to talk about his poll rankings.
I absolutely knew that I would be the poster child for whatever. I could probably run for governor in Michigan, might have a good chance, but probably not very popular in Ohio. But listen, I don't live my life that way. I'm not going to say, well, let me put them here and do something that I absolutely don't believe in. And again, it's not that they're not good enough. They could beat us by two touchdowns. They're plenty good enough to beat us. They're good enough to win it all. I just had a problem with the fact that three teams got to play 13 games and one has to play eight. I don't care what the name is. Change the name. Ohio State, whoever. Fill in the blank. Penn State, Michigan, Southern Cal. I don't really care. That just was my standard that I put in place. And I wasn't going to change that because, you know, being politically correct, well, in trying to, you know, appease people. You know, it is what it is.
Good for Dabo. By the way, I pointed out to Coach Sweeney yesterday about Ohio State, that if again, the biggest word in sports, if Ohio State goes WW and ends the year 8-0 and wins the national championship, that has happened three different times in the history of college football. Minnesota did it three times. They did it in 36, 40, and 41. So it would not be unprecedented. Ooh. If the Buckeyes went 8-0 and won the national championship. Oh, it's never happened before. You can't say since Dirt. No. Minnesota did it three different times. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Irish were at the Zoom microphone yesterday, if you will, in this world we're in. Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, was a member of the Notre Dame team that played Alabama in the BCS National Championship. And he talked about what he gleaned from the experience of playing Alabama and how it helps on Friday.
Yeah, that was, you know, a long time ago for us. And you know, I was there. I remember it, and it wasn't a fun night, obviously. I think the program's come a long way under Coach's leadership. You know, I think, you know, the way we were recruited, the way we've developed within our program has increased. And then I think just, you know, we've been in this situation now multiple times, and there's a belief within the program that, you know, we're consistently one of the best five teams in the country, and we handle ourselves that way, and we have that belief. And that's really the standard and the work ethic that we come, you know, into this building with every day. And I think Coach has built that consistency here over the last 11 years. And it's been really exciting just to see this place grow into where it's at now.
Teams are very different, though, than when they played in 2012. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alabama attacks you totally differently. And I think Notre Dame is light years better right now than they were in 2012 when they played for the college football championship.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I think the other element too is, you and I have talked a little bit about this, the evolution of Ian Book at quarterback, the evolution of the run game, the evolution of the offensive line with this team this year because of the, you know, the alignment with the ACC. One of the things that's kind of gotten lost in a little bit of this is, and I don't know that the championship game was an outlier, but Notre Dame's not bad on defense back. They're not bad on that side of the ball now. I mean, that's one of the things Friday that I have not heard discussed much at all. And when I have, it's just kind of been, well, you know, Alabama beats everybody. Notre Dame's a little better on defense than people think they are.
I think Notre Dame, I think to me the biggest difference between Notre Dame today versus when I went and saw that game in person against Bama for the championship is athletically they're so much better. They, Notre Dame, are so much better athletically than they were in 2012. They were just, the other team was bigger, faster, stronger. See you later. You weren't in the same stratosphere. Now they may get their doors blown off again Friday. I mean, Alabama's that good offensively. But athletically, Notre Dame has improved drastically from that appearance in the college football playoff, excuse me, the college football championship game in 2012. So, again, we're going to roll this thing out on Friday. We're going to keep score, and Notre Dame's got an opportunity to change the narrative.
Yep. Final cut. We used this at the top of the show, but it's worth replaying as part of yesterday's media availability with Brian Kelly, who's been asked this point blank, and yesterday just finally made his statement. Does Notre Dame have to win to prove themselves given their recent postseason performances?
No. No, I mean, we're knocking at the door every year playing really good teams and great opponents, and there's elite football teams. I don't know why this narrative continues to pop up when we're always in the games. No, we haven't won a national championship. That's correct. I'm not changing the record. But we are there every single year, and we are grinding it out just like everybody else. And only one team gets to celebrate at the end of the year. And we're going to keep banging it, and we're going to keep getting back here. That's our job, and that's our challenge each and every year is to compete for a national championship, and we'll continue to do that.
Hard to win those natties now. I mean, you got to be good and lucky. But at Notre Dame, you know, winning a major bowl hasn't happened since 94. Winning a New Year's Day 6 game hasn't happened. Winning a college football playoff game hasn't happened. Didn't win the ACC championship game. That's where the narrative is. That's the zero. Yeah. I mean, the winning a natty is tough, but those others, you got to have some check marks. Right now, Notre Dame doesn't have any check marks.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, sit tight. When we come back, plenty more. Over and under is next on this program. We get to that as well, but a reminder to you that Friday, we're your spot for coverage leading up to the start of the CFP semifinals. We get going at 11 a.m., a special brunch edition of Packer and Durham. Then we'll hand it off to Jordan Cornette, EJ Manuel, Eric McClain, and Coach Rick. Two-hour huddle. That'll take you to the Notre Dame radio broadcast with Paul Burmeister and crew at 4 o'clock for the game with Alabama. And then at 8, we'll transfer over to Don Munson, Tim Bure, Reggie Merriweather, and the coverage from the Clemson radio broadcast. And then huddle after dark. No tie required. Breaks down both ball games right here on ACC Network. Stay tuned. Over and under and a special bonus true-false coming up. Fellas have cobbled together the questions. Mark and I give the compelling answers when we come back next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network. Oh boy. 844-SAY-ACCN. Oh, Power Hour coming up. Coveted invite in about 40 minutes or so. She'll be on the sidelines at the Cheez-It Bowl. Miami and the Pokes. 5:30 kick. 5 o'clock sometime this afternoon. We'll get into all that. All right, time for a little over and under. Right. We head to the smart folks up there in Bristol, Connecticut, who run this bad boy. Ready to roll? See what we got. Are they ready?
I don't know.
Lumberjacks?
Yeah,
there we go.
Sure. Let's go. There's Whoa. Drew. Hey, all
I
right.
I think I'm ready. It's Catawba?
That's it. You're on the roll. Got you it. Got it.
Sweet.
That's it. Yeah.
Over under Catawba, how many Wake points Forest, you're Forest there. Scores against Catawba? 193. No, just kidding. We're going to start with the college football playoff and Clemson and Ohio State. I don't know if you know this, but Clemson hasn't given up more than 17 points in their last three games. That obviously includes the ACC championship. But they have given up over 21 points in four games this season, over under 21 points allowed by Clemson against Ohio State on Friday.
Over. Over. I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go under. I'm going under.
All right.
I'm going to go under.
I think there's a opportunity for some late scores for Ohio State.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm still going to go under.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's revisit this after the fact, by the way. I'm just curious where this ends up. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't on this, but I'd like to revisit this on Monday.
We can definitely do that. We'll see if you get it right or wrong. Right.
I think there'll be a lot of points. I've said this a lot this year in games that turn out to be low scores. I think there could be a lot of points scored in the Sugar Bowl. A lot of points.
Okay.
So speaking of a lot of points, I got another game for you. You know, Alabama's averaging a school record 49.7 points per game. So over under 50 points for Alabama against Notre Dame on Friday.
Under.
Under.
Comfortably under.
Under 40?
You know,
whoa! This question was 50. Now we're gonna leverage 40.
Well, he said doing? Comfortably a workbook under. Here? So what is
listen,
comfortably
Clark,
under?
Well, that's Pack said that.
Go Pack back said, and look at what Clark Lee's done at Notre Dame defensively. Very few teams even sniff 30. I mean, his number has been out really fantastic. Now I know Alabama is incredibly dynamic, as explosive an offensive team as we've seen since last year's LSU team. Mm-hmm. Right? And Clemson's had a bunch of these kind of teams. Ohio State's had teams that can score. But Notre Dame traditionally has played really, really good defense. I think athletically, like I said, I think they're going to be fine from that perspective. I think their front seven can cause some issues. Again, keep in mind, the AP All-American team was announced yesterday. Alabama had five first-team All-Americans on the offensive side. This is a dynamically great team. But Notre Dame has always been well-coached, and they've got good athletes. So 50 to me seems like a ridiculously huge number. Maybe Bama blows them out. I don't know. We'll watch Friday.
How about 40?
You listen, when you're going to play to beat Alabama, you're going to have to score that way. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to beat them 24-20, I don't think. That game doesn't seem to exist anymore. So I expect there to be points. But I think Notre Dame, after getting kicked in the teeth by Clemson and having to listen for 2 weeks how they don't belong, here we go again, the same old Notre Dame, big bright lights, they always come up short. I think they're sick of it. I really do. I think they have just absolutely heard enough, and they are talented enough. They got great senior leadership, and they've got dudes on that defensive side that will hit you. So I think the number is going to be way under 50.
All right. Good call. What do you got, Drew?
All right, last question. Going to hoops, we talked about it in this hour, actually. There are two teams playing their first true road games of the season tonight. So over under 0.5. I know that's hard. 0.5 wins for the two teams playing their first true road games tonight,
under.
Which would be Miami and Florida State.
Under. I think the
Pack's picking the home taters tonight.
I think the home teams are going to hold serve tonight. Could be wrong.
All right. I will go under as well. I will go under as well. I think this road thing, although with the buildings the way they are, I think it's different. I like Virginia Tech tonight. I kind of like Clemson at home. I just like the vibe of Clemson and who they are. I think Clemson, Florida State's a sensational game tonight, by the way.
I totally agree.
Sidebar to all that.
I think you're right. Again, we'll come back here tomorrow and laugh at ourselves being so dead wrong as we normally are. But I think that'll be a tremendous contest in Little John tonight.
Yeah, no question. Good stuff. Well done, gentlemen. Appreciate that. We'll revisit on Monday or tomorrow in the case of that last question. We go to the Power Hour next, and we're going to go with the quote machine from the fall. We had some quotes now in the fall. I mean some real quotes. Stuff you'd stitch on a pillow for the holidays and present to someone as a gift.
Maybe not.
Or maybe have them on a note card for inspiration.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a holiday pillow, maybe a note card. We'll let you know. But when we come back, the best quotes from the football season are next. Seems fitting to put it in a Power Hour, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. We got plenty, too. We got a lot of coaches at the microphone saying things. Packer and Durham on a Tuesday continues in one moment on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.